Welcome to Scott Stadium. Chris Graham, Scott German, and we are here live from the press box. UVA 48, Duke 14. Scott, I guess I'll start simply. We totally expected this, didn't we?
We knew this coming in. This was not going to be a ball game, Chris. A complete waste of time this afternoon at Scott Stadium.
Yeah, UVA a 3-point favorite coming into this one. Five Duke turnovers officially. Looking at the stats, what, three fumbles, two interceptions. You know, it doesn't count as a turnover, but a fourth down try, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, more in depth in a few minutes, that gave Virginia a short field. Also, Virginia getting a 99-yard kickoff return from Joe Reed. And so you get 34 points off of all that and take advantage. Virginia just a kind of a slight advantage, 307 to 250 in total offense. But this game was never really a contest. First quarter, no score. Virginia was 17 points in the second quarter. And Scott, it never really felt like Virginia was you know, any danger in this game.
No, and we talked at halftime. Duke gets the ball. We talked about how important it was for Virginia to come out and make a good defensive stance and show that the first half shutout wasn't a fluke. And what happens? They get a turnover right off the bat. So kind of set the tone for the second half. Duke never got on track. Just certainly not the team that put 45 points on Virginia Tech in Lane Stadium.
Yeah, they gained 442 yards of offense in that game. Just 250 today, and a lot of that, I haven't done the math, but a lot of that in the fourth quarter in garbage time, if you want to call it, against the Virginia second team defense. This game was over maybe about a play in the third quarter. Actually, Virginia led 17-0 at halftime. Bryce Perkins with a one-yard touchdown run in the second quarter that got Virginia on the board about 4 minutes into the second quarter, capping a 9-play 72-yard drive. Then an interception by Britt Nelson sets up a short field for UVA. Short field goal, Brian Delaney, 30 yards. It's 10-0. Then Duke goes for it, 4th-and-1 from the 34-yard line. And we were saying here at the press box, Scott, this isn't second-guessing. We were saying at that time, what was Steven Cutcliffe thinking going from 4th-and-1 in his own 34? That effectively made that the play of the ball game.
Right. He didn't. I don't think that was a good call. You punt, you live to play the next day. Or you live to play the next series.
Yeah.
That essentially ended the ball game.
Virginia effectively, eventually then punched it in from 1 yard out. Actually, a little more drama than just punching it in from 1 yard out, Bryce Perkins. The call on the field was actually fumble Bryce Perkins. He reached the ball over the goal line. As he reached the ball over the goal line, it was knocked away. The ruling on the field was actually fumble. But upon review, it was pretty clearly a Bryce Perkins touchdown, 17-0 at halftime. Then the first play, second half, first play, literally the first play, a fumble on a reverse. And Virginia recovers another short field goal, 33 yards by Brian Delaney. Then another Duke turnover. This is like a broken record, leads to another Virginia touchdown. Duke got the ball finally. It took until about the 5-minute mark of the third quarter. Duke finally ran a play in UVA territory. First time they ran a play.
And how did that come about?
The first with a drop punt, the punter dropped the snap, picked it up and ran for his life, got a first down. Then actually a designed fake punt, and finally got a touchdown. You know, and I'm sitting here in the press box reminding folks, this Duke team trailed Pitt 26-3 in the third quarter, came back, took the lead before losing. So it made it 27-7 in this game. And then I'm not sure if the words were still completely out of my mouth before Joe Reed returned that touchdown for the 99 yards and a nice run.
His fifth career kickoff return for a touchdown. Third in the ACC history now.
And ninth all time in 1A football, yeah. FBS football.
Which begs me to ask, why don't you just kick the ball out of bounds?
Yeah. Kick it out of bounds, kick it to the end zone.
You can't always kick it to the end zone, but you can't kick it out of bounds.
You can squib it, you can do lots of things. You can just say we're going to give them the ball at the 50-yard line. That's much better than Joe Reed.
Right.
But Virginia, next play, makes it 34-7. Another Duke turnover, another Virginia score, another Duke turnover, another Virginia score. It was 48-7, one play into the fourth quarter. Bryce Perkins didn't play after the first snap of the fourth quarter. And Duke got a late touchdown against the subs. 48-14 is your final. And so for this Virginia team, Scott, 3-point favorite coming in. Now, back-to-back losses. Only 9 points last week at Miami. and you come in here this week, you take care of business, not just win the game, but you win against a good team. This is a good Duke team, and you win convincingly. This has got to be a good momentum builder for this
one. Yeah, it certainly is. Now, I'm going to flip the switch on you and ask you a couple of questions.
Sure, sure.
So does this get the Sharks off of the offensive coordinator a little bit? Did he throw enough wrinkles? Did it satisfy the fans that he did a little bit? Looked a little different today. He had Bryce Perkins under center, two or three plays. Aside from the fact we won 48-14, do you think this kind of calmed the waters a little bit as far as questioning his offensive play calling? Or was this just a case of Duke handing this a game?
Well, 7 of 9 in the red zone for this Virginia offense today, and 6 of those would be touchdowns. So you got to like that. I mean, last week the issue was Virginia had the ball inside the Miami 30-yard line. That's not technically the red zone, but inside the 30-yard line, 6 times on 10 possessions, got 9 points, 3 field goals, 1 missed field goal, 1 turnover on downs, 1 interception to show for it. So even though you only have 307 yards offense, in part you only have 307 yards offense because Duke kept giving you the ball in short fields. You don't need to get more yards when they're giving you short fields. I would say the effectiveness, you look at 3rd down, 7-15, you look at 7 of 9 in the red zone, and you look at some of the play calls. You know, they were doing some different things offensively. I know there was a big pass play to Cossis Dubois early in the game on one of those scoring drives. They max protected. You had 2 tight ends, a fullback, all blocking, only 2 receivers in the pattern, but that allowed Perkins enough time. It seemed like he had a lot of time today. He only got sacked twice. There was a reverse play for Tavares Kelly. There was a nice rollout play, a traditional play action, where you threw the ball to Tanner Crowley, the tight end, coming up back across the formation. George Welsh and Tom O'Brien would have been proud of that play call and the way it was executed. So there were wrinkles. They got the ball in space to their guys. Joe Reed, 5 catches, 45 yards. They tried him on a reverse. They got Kelly on a reverse for a 17-yard gain. You got the ball to Cease Dubois. 4 catches, 62 yards. So, yeah, you know, that total yards number won't wow you, 307 yards, but 7 scores and 9 possessions in the red zone, 6 of those being touchdowns, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's efficiency. That's what you're looking for.
You know, Bronco said last week after the game, and I wrote a column kind of quibbling with it a bit. He said, when we get in the red zone, we expect to score 50% of the time. When I looked it up, I looked at NCAA stats. You should be closer to 70% of the time. Right. Today, 77% of the time.
Right. So you can't, you know, numbers often lie, and 307 total yards of offense, but it's the efficiency of that. The offense can't be penalized if they had a lot of short fields to work
from. Right, right.
But what they can be credited with is that when they were handed a short field, they made something up. And that's could be a very turning point to this season. Build that confidence that they can turn it short, can go inside the red zone and come away with touchdowns.
I was looking, moving our stats around a little bit. Duke had 84 yards in the fourth quarter, 166 when this game, whatever doubt there would have been in the third quarter, 166 yards offense. Another stellar effort by the defense. You know, we said that this Duke team didn't get the ball in the UVA territory until about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. This defense, it seemed like there were extra guys on the field. They were in the backfield the whole game. They were blocking, you know, knocking down passes. Quentin Harris couldn't see over the line. He was throwing the ball quickly to try to get rid of the ball before he got hit. This UVA defense, you know, we talk about how good it is. It's the second best defense in the ACC according to the numbers. They played like it today.
They did against a very good Duke offensive team. Duke
they scored 45 coming, against Tech.
And coming into this game, averaging 40.
Yeah.
And a very dynamic quarterback. You know, they lost a first-round draft pick in Daniel Jones last year, but Harris has played very well this year. It's kind of a dynamic, you know, in that he can do a lot of things, a lot of different things. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
The defense has to be given an A today.
So this weird schedule we've got, was it the first 4 weeks?
Three
of the first four. A lot of road games in between, 4 of 5. We have 2 more road games at Louisville next week, at Carolina the following week, and then you finish with 3 at home with a bye week in between. So this stretch, when you're 4-2 with Duke, Louisville, and Carolina back-to-back-to-back, 2 of those on the road, you needed a win to start the stretch off. Louisville team lost today to Clemson 45-10. That game was competitive for two quarters plus, maybe. You know, so that's the focus next week is Louisville. But this is a great way to go into Louisville week. A lot of confidence for this team. And back on track. You know, we have to feel like, as we're talking right now, we don't know what's going on. In fact, I'll look up. Virginia Tech, a 34-31 lead, 4th-10 for North Carolina. A loss there for North Carolina and Virginia would be alone at 3-1 because Miami lost today inexplicably to Georgia Tech. And so actually Carolina's trying a field goal. We'll go ahead and stay with this. What the heck? We're Dave Kane might be doing the same. Dave Kane is like 10 feet to our right here.
This is one of those games you have a hard time deciding who you're wanting to root for.
And you can't root against both. And time out Virginia Tech. So, but the results of this game, surprisingly, North Carolina playing well to get to this stage, to be, not just in this game against Virginia Tech, but to be 2-1 in the ACC, to be in the mix right now. Virginia's certainly at 3-1 right now. You've beaten Pitt. You've beaten Duke. The team you lost to, Miami, lost today. And that's three losses for them, right, in the ACC. So, really, you know, your next 2 weeks are really key here. If you can beat Louisville on the road next week, and it won't be easy. You know, they beat Wake Forest at home last week. They played Notre Dame tough in a loss. They played Clemson relatively tough for a couple quarters in a loss. We're still kind of filibustering here. The timeout's over, and we'll see at least what happens here on this play. We can talk more definitively about the ACC race. The Mike London try to ice the kicker in the world game here.
Yeah. Chris, so...
And the kick is good, so that'll send it to a second overtime.
So, getting back to Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech meets Miami today, which, you know, I'm kind of dumbfounded as to how that happened. And it really makes me wonder, how did we let that game get away?
Because Miami played so well last week, and that's the thing. We didn't get to really watch play for play the Miami-Georgia Tech game today. We had it on in the press box here. A few of us were. We're looking at it with one eye, you know, when you're doing other stuff. But I did take a sneak peek at the stats, and that Georgia Tech team actually moved the ball pretty well against Miami. We did not last week, to say the least. And I wonder how much of that was Miami being prepared and us not prepared after a bye week. But that's all in the past now. You can't go back and relitigate that one, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's frustrating to think about. But that said, this Virginia team gets the big win today against a really good Duke team. Heads on into Louisville week with a 5-2 record, 3-1 in the ACC. Your fate is in your hands. If we lose today, your fate is probably in lots of other people's hands and your own, but not the case. But at 3-1 with wins over your main rivals right now, your fate is in your hands, and you can take care of business, and you're going to be playing in Charlotte. So that's the stakes.
Yeah, and maybe the Miami game does serve as a lesson because Louisville is a team that we should go in and take care of. And Louisville may be at the point of the season now where they're kind of just playing out the string. So a game that we should win. We should have beaten Miami, but we didn't. So maybe that game does come back to serve as sort of a reminder for us that you can't go into any of these games thinking you're going to win. You got to come out and play the game. You got to play for four quarters.
I think that's a great lesson to take from that. Yeah, and unfortunately, a hard lesson to learn. But sometimes you can learn in defeat. I guess Kyle Guy would tell you that you can learn from a defeat. The whole basketball team would tell you can learn from a defeat. So Virginia with the win today, 48-14. And thank you for joining us here on our post game Facebook Live. I know that a lot of folks like to tune into these, and Coach Mendenhall has not started talking to the team yet, and we might sneak our way down.
Let's give a shout out to the crowd today. Great crowd, over 50,000.
52,000, yeah.
52,000, yeah. And student section turned out well, so I think things are going, you know, we're getting a fan base back a little bit.
Win a couple more games, and those November games could really be for a lot of stakes.
Exactly.
And so a lot of reason to come out and watch these games. Well, thank you for joining us here on this Facebook Live, and we will have more post game, of course, coming up as the night goes on. Thanks again, and have a great day.